Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Time now for KJ and Don Darrow with KJ Carson and Mark Don Darrow on WEEI. WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
And that'll do it. It's over. The Golden State Warriors return to a familiar place. They're on top of the NBA world. The fourth title in 8 years. The Dubs dynasty is still very much alive.
KJ and Don Darrow, good Sunday morning to you. Happy Father's Day. The Celtics, they had it. But first, happy Father's Day to you, Mark, live from the U.S. Open. Good morning, man.
KJ, happy Father's Day. I can't wait for Sunday at the U.S. Open. It's going to be an epic day. Thank you. Happy Father's Day to you. I was wrong about the Celtics. That's too bad that they couldn't convert there. Had we been celebrating a championship today or even Game 7, it would have been a different situation. But whatever. It was a great run. We can talk about it. But it's going to be a great day today at the Country Club at the U.S. Open. Cannot wait for this show. Can't wait for today.
Yeah, it's going to be. I'm interested to see how Rory makes a run on Sunday with all the conversation that's been going on between the PGA and the LIV Golf Tournament. It's all setting up for a very dynamic day, and that's why you're here with KJ and Don Darrow to start your Sunday, because we're literally where the action is. But just what happened? What do you, if you could say in a few words? Because here's what I think happened in this Celtics series. I think after Game One, they figured out they had a game plan, but then realized that they were going up against someone who was built for this. When Golden State goes on the road, it almost seems like they are more equipped for the hostile environments than, say, even though the Celtics had been, you know, had not lost two in a row, had done better on the road than they had at home. But this is the Golden State Warriors. I think the fall apart was what they saw they could do in Game One. They figured that they could probably finish this in five or six and got finished off in six.
The problem with the Boston Celtics ultimately, and I know this isn't necessarily fair, it was Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum was the biggest reason they were not able to win the NBA Finals. And you can sigh and moan or whatever you're going to do. He's the biggest reason. Now, there were other reasons. You know, it wasn't just Jason Tatum. He's the biggest reason. That's why they lost the NBA Finals. Tatum wasn't good enough, not even close. Now, that doesn't mean he's doomed. That doesn't mean we give up. Like, I'm still high on him. I applaud his overall
effort. Because,
you
know, there's nothing else that would come that would be as of good, a good of player than, you know, what you have now. And I'll get into that in a minute.
No. I don't even want to get into that. We're not getting into that.
Yeah,
I don't want to
eventually get, because it's been the noise.
This was a huge step forward and a net positive, a big time positive. But in the finals, he sucked. That's how, like, that. There's no debate. He was awful in the finals. Awful.
KJ and Don Darrow, WEEI, 617-779-7937. The text line, 37937. Are you putting this all on Tatum's shoulders? Because I can't. I just can't, right? Because if you win a game and you score 12 points, that says that other people are involved. When you start scoring more points and you're losing games, that means other people aren't involved. Here's Grant Williams talking about, look, we made excuses at times.
The dynamic shift of, like, how they changed the series starting in that game where they won three in a row. You know, they just upped their physicality and we responded somewhat, but then we scapegoated sometimes. And that's a little bit of the maturity side of things. Us being more mentally strong is the number one thing for this team moving forward, and being more prepared to focus in on every single little detail that needs to be done.
Yeah, the little detail that needs to be done is like the bench players, the role players have to show up, and they disappeared. And that's why I said, you know, look, how can you put it all on Tatum's shoulders? Now, granted, if he's the superstar and he's the one that's the All-NBA and he's got the Ruffles potato chips in the stores and he's doing the commercials, then, yeah, he's the easy target. But if you look at numbers, you wouldn't think that his turnovers were down in this series compared to the previous series. You wouldn't have thought that, would you?
No. Were they down?
Right. Yeah, they were worse in this in the Miami series. They were worse in the series with the Bucks. But yet, I get it because it's the finals. But at the same time, I think the piling on of Jason Tatum is just too easy of a narrative as much as it is to say, hey, look, you've got a role bench player issue. When you have guys coming off the bench for 3 points, 1 point, you know, 5 minutes, you know, of nothing, there's nothing Tatum or Brown can do.
Again, though, this is the life of being the best player on a potential championship-winning NBA basketball team. You have to shoulder that burden. Okay, when those guys are going to disappear at times. Now, some of them ended up disappearing for the rest of the playoffs. Grant Williams, by the time the Miami series started, he evaporated. He was gone.
He's been gone since game six.
And then
six,
it was
seven,
Peyton Pritchard. Yeah. Peyton Pritchard hit 2 threes in game one. But really, for the second half of the Miami series and then for basically the entire NBA Finals outside of those two shots in game one, he was gone. And then obviously by the end of the Finals, Derek White was a pumpkin. So that was a part of this. But Tatum, it starts with Tatum. And I get it, he's 24. He'll get there. He has time. They were ahead of schedule. But it was Tatum, his inability to help the Celtics overcome some of those other deficiencies or some of the way, you know, the way that Golden State took it to them at times when the superstar needs to rise up and be the reason that you are a team that can, you know, the best player can will you to a victory. He wasn't able to do it. He just wasn't. And that's the reality.
KJ and Dondero on WEEI. Mark is live from the U.S. Open. Look, here's what's interesting. The highest point total Jason Tatum had in the series against Golden State was 28 in game two, which was a loss. But his plus minus was minus 36. So again, he's putting up close to 30 points. You're asking, okay, what else is he supposed to do if you've got a minus 36? So it's like, hey, I've got 28 points while I'm getting a negative response from everybody else on the court, but yet I score 12 points in game one and I've got a plus 16, plus minus. So again, I always said this series was not about crowning Jason Tatum as the next superstar. Welcome to the All-NBA first team club. Let's celebrate. We now have a star in Boston. It was about winning 18. And I think you only win that series if the team steps up, where your role players step up. Jaylen Brown performed out of his face. I mean, I even hear some people say, well, this is now Jaylen Brown's team. No, Jaylen Brown just did what another teammate is supposed to do. And I think there's evidence that Tatum had done what he was supposed to do. It's just that the rest of the team did not.
13 points in an elimination game at home. I mean,
I think those are shoulders shrugged. I think he was completely done, right? Because one can make the argument.
What do you mean completely done? He quit?
I'm not going to say he quit, but I'm just saying that would be a game you put the Kobe armband on, right? You think he's going to put the Kobe armband on? He's got to put it on for the next two games. These are the two, because the whole premise was that, you know, when he wore it in game seven against Miami, it was the most important game he played in. Well, now these next two would be the most important. So, maybe we'll find out there's something with the shoulder that was a little more. I don't want to buy reasons for him, but I think, you know, sometimes, and when you're young, sometimes if you feel like you just can't get it done and nobody else is giving you help, you know, it was a disappearing act in that final game. It was.
The story of the series to me and what I got wrong, the biggest thing I got wrong, I completely and utterly underestimated the defense of the Golden State Warriors. I did not think they were going to pose the problems, specifically Wiggins, Green, and Thompson. Their length it was nightmarish for the duo of Brown and Tatum. Wiggins especially. Wiggins erased Tatum. Wiggins outplayed Tatum offensively and defensively. I mean, you can't have that if you're the Celtics. I did not envision the issues that Tatum and Brown had with that trio of the Warriors, and I didn't see it happening and playing out the way it did. So give Wiggins credit. He was awesome in the series, and he totally got in the head of Jason Tatum and shut him down.
Yeah, if you told me going into the series that the Golden State Warriors would sometimes out-rebound the Celtics in any of these games, especially on the offensive glass, I would say, what's going on. I would think that nobody's down there. And so I think the Celtics learned that championship pedigree means you can't get out hustled in areas that you should dominate. There was no reason that the lack of size of Golden State should have outwilled the size advantage that the Celtics had. And that's the thing that jumped out at me the most. Some stuff you don't see on a stat sheet, but it just seemed like Golden State wanted it more in areas where they were deemed deficient compared to the Celtics. Here's M.A. Udoka with his message for Jason Tatum moving forward.
Yeah, learn and understand who he is in this league. You know, you're all-star, all-NBA, first-team guy for a reason, and this is only a start of how you're going to be guarded and the attention you're going to draw. And so one thing that he's always done throughout the season was seen multiple different coverages and figured it out, and he did that throughout the first few series, and this one was a rough one. Very consistent team that did some things to limit him and make others pay, and so from him, it's just continue to grow and understand that you're going to see this rest of your career. This is just a start, but the growth that he showed as a playmaker this year and in certain areas, I think this is the next step for him, figuring that out and, you know, getting to where some of the veterans are that have seen everything and took their lumps early in their careers. And like I said, very motivated guy that works extremely hard and high IQ, intelligent guy that will learn from this and figure it out. And I think it will propel him to go forward, definitely motivate him.
Yeah, so, listen, I don't disagree with that. Yeah. I do agree. But it doesn't explain to me what happened, because what I saw against Milwaukee, okay, was a guy that had all the confidence in the world, was doing the things that a superstar needed to do, specifically the Al Horford game, game four, on the road, okay? Horford was carrying the team, but I tweeted during the game, I knew you couldn't let Al Horford try to take you home. What happened in the fourth quarter, Tatum hadn't been playing great, but in the fourth quarter, he showed up and he did what a superstar is supposed to do. And then in game six, obviously, 46 points, he's shooting the ball in Giannis's eye, he's shooting threes, he's stepping into shots, he's not driving to nowhere and dishing it. Like, I don't know where that came from, and I don't know what happened, because against Milwaukee, we saw it. Now, the shoulder injury, okay, but when he shot the ball, he was still productive after the shoulder sting or whatever it was. I don't know what happened to the conviction. How many times against the Warriors did I see him get the pass, I'm waiting for him to rise up and shoot with conviction, and nope, hesitation, then drive, then dish, then Marcus Smart ends up taking a shot, or Al, like, where did the conviction go? Why? Where did this driving and dishing come from? The guy we saw against Milwaukee was the guy. That was the player. Had he played against the Warriors, I don't know what would have happened.
So maybe this goes back to some of the narrative that had been going on during the season that, hey, Jalen and Jason need to learn how to pass. Now, you would say, hey, you're at the NBA Finals. Don't pass. Shoot. But maybe that's part of it, right? Because if he takes a bunch of shots and misses, and he missed his fair share of shots, then does the narrative suddenly become, see, Jason Tatum is suddenly getting hoggish again. He wants to take it all on his shoulders and so forth. And that may play a part. And I think the other part is, when you see how far the Celtics came through in terms of the names they went through Kevin Durant and Kyrie. Then they went through Giannis, right? And then they beat the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. And then when you get to the finals, you know, it's almost like the team who no one really expected to be there. You might have thought maybe Phoenix would be there, maybe Memphis. I mean, granted, Golden State was, what, the two seed? So it's almost kind of like maybe there was a feeling of a letdown, right? Like, we've beaten all these big-time guys, and we've gone up against an aging Steph, an aging Draymond Green, a recovering Klay, and a question mark Andrew Wiggins going into this season. And you may feel like, we got this. And you win game one on the road, then you might feel like, we really got this.
Yeah.
You know, I can't necessarily get in squarely into their head, but sometimes these are the things you may think when you are younger, right? It's like, you ever hear the saying, never corner an old dog because they may have one good bite left in them? You ever heard that term before?
Whatever, yeah.
Well, you just did, right? Yeah. That was Golden State, right? Golden State, you would think that, hey, when the lines came out, people knew that money was going to come from a lot of Boston fans on the plus side. Then, right after game one, those odds flipped where suddenly the Celtics were favored to win the series after one game, and yet here they didn't even make it to seven games, where I think a lot of us thought it would get to seven games.
Yeah, and when we get back into the next segment, I'll go into their minds and tell you, I think, a part, at least, of what happened and what derailed the Celtics. And I can tell you one guy that was extremely disappointed because he's wearing their team, the team logo, the colors on his shoes, is Keegan Bradley, who right now is tied for fourth at the U.S. Open. He tees off around 2:34, so he is getting ready to go. Imagine if he finds a way to post a number and get into the clubhouse with a lead. This place will be electric. We're going to be covering it. We're going to be following it all day. And by the way, the U.S. Open coverage here on WEEI is brought to you by Meiomi, the official wine of the PGA Tour, and by Zingaroo. Zingaroo allows you to trade, chat, and compete with friends all in one app. Join now and get started with $25 on us. The leaderboard, this is what I wanted for a U.S. Open, a stacked leaderboard here in my hometown, you know, our hometown in Boston. Will Zalatoris, Matt Fitzpatrick, John Rahm, Bradley, Scotty Scheffler won the Masters. McIlroy is lurking. It is going to be a huge day. I can't wait for the golf today. Didn't mean to just jump into that sidebar, but this day, I mean, everything I've heard about the the venue here has gotten rave reviews. They love this. Like the players, everybody here, the media coverage, it's really gotten good reviews. It's a perfect – I love where the leaders are at, you know, -4, -3. That's what a U.S. Open should be.
You got to run on Sunday.
Yep. 17 at the U.S. Open. So I love what we're doing here, and it's going to be a great day. I can't wait for it.
All right, KJ and Don Darrow, 617-779-7937. The text line 37937. We talk more Celtics, the future of Jason Tatum. What does the team look like? Who do you trade? Do you keep people? But right now, it's time to trend with Nick.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You're listening to KJ and Don Darrow on Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
Jason Tatum, really, he got pumped. I mean, Andrew Wiggins snatched his soul. This is the problem when you're off-season and you training with certain guys. You know, because Andrew Wiggins and Jason Tatum for a little bit had the same training. Andrew Wiggins left. Jason Tatum still trained with this guy. And so it wasn't surprising that Andrew Wiggins knew every move, that he was sitting on top of the counters, that he was actually blocking Jason Tatum's shot. This is part of the game. And so when I saw it last night, to me it looked like Jason Tatum just quit. Because if the Celtics would have got anything, any type of tenacity, any type of dog out of him, they would have probably won that game.
Oh, boy. Here comes the narrative. KJ and Don Darrow, WEEI, happy Father's Day, and thank you for starting your Sunday with the fastest two-hour radio show in America. Mark, live from the U.S. Open final round. Man, what a way to give yourself a Father's Day gift there, huh?
Yes, it's a great, I mean, I don't even know what to do. I'm out here looking at the course, looking at the... drooling. I'm wiping drool all morning.
When it's over, you got to go home, right?
Yeah, it's the fact that they're here and not just that they're here, but the way that the tournament has unfolded.
Yes.
It's everything, like I was alluding to earlier, that I was hoping for with some of these names that are on the leaderboard and the way that the golf is being played and the conditions, and we'll see what the wind does today. What more could you ask for on a Father's Day? Like,
I know, right? What a nice gift to yourself. I didn't know if my kids were going to tell me Happy Father's Day when I got up this morning, but they did. So Happy Father's Day to you.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah. So look, what Kendrick Perkins just said there in that cut, I think kind of is part of the boiling pot that's around Jason Tatum that I kind of hinted to last week. Now I know, Mark, you don't want to hear this. It all revolved around a call about a guy saying that, look, Tatum isn't really that happy here. It's really just a job. And in fairness, they wouldn't be the first player that doesn't really have themselves super fabricly attached to the fan base. You know, that's not unusual. But I think as the narrative goes and how much Jason Tatum listens could potentially be detrimental a year from now. I'm just wondering. All the talk about what Jason Tatum was not in the finals, do you think that feeds his desire to get out of here?
100% no. I think if he leaves, it will be for other alternative reasons, not because of what some people on talk radio say about his performance in the finals. And guess what? His performance in the finals was horrible. What do you want me to say? You want me to come up here and just act and be all night?
Throw some more carrots into the stew? Well, here's the thing. We've got a different NBA player now, right? It used to be you play for the pride of the team and for the fan base. Now it's very much play for my brand and how I can do it on the gram. And I'm not saying that this is him, but I'm just saying this is the environment. What James Harden did this year, you could have not even fathomed 20 years ago. Be on a contract and play for, in essence, three teams in one season and demand your way out of each, you know, out of two of those three places. So, you know, sometimes they say the danger is when the precedent is set. And it's not so much that, hey, Jason Tatum wants to do this now, but the precedent has been set that, look, it doesn't how much you're making. If you want out, the team's going to have to make a way for you out of here. And I just wonder if, you know, Jason Tatum getting punked, or he disappeared, or it's now Jaylen Brown's team, or look what he ain't. He's not this superstar. You know, all these different narratives that are being played out. And in fairness, everybody has their right to say what they want to say. But also, there is a potential repercussion. Do you think that he hears all this and says, you know what? I may want out of here. I think so. I just think so.
No, it's not going to happen. And let the record show, I just got my first pipe down gesture from the media center here.
So. they don't know, right? I mean, granted, you're at a place you love, but you love to talk with volume. I cannot expect
you to
ever
say. Well, I'm
not
going to sacrifice the energy on the radio show just because
right.
I'm here.
Just because of some grass, right?
Did they tell you, or did they hold up the little quiet sign?
The quiet sign.
No. I wish they did. I would have had a lot more respect if the quiet sign came up and somebody walked out over to me, but that's okay. Listen.
They put the fingers to the lips.
I don't. Yeah, it was more of like a arm thing, like bring it down. Whatever. Listen. I disagree with you. Like, I don't think, and first of all, if that's the reason if that is something that ever factored into his thinking, the respect I would have for that is so low, so pathetic. I mean, that's not the type of guy I want leading the Celtics. If a little bit of noise is going to bother it, like, no, this guy did not play well. He should be the first to tell you. 13 points in a must-have game at home. Okay, where you could have tied up the series. Not good enough. Not even close. And it wasn't just the stats. Did you look at him? Did you watch him? I mean, it was hopelessly pathetic. It was not that he. I'm not going to say he quit. I don't know if he quit. I just
maybe
think
he was game planned for, and the game plan worked.
Down. He was totally just exposed. Like that's what happened, and it's just not acceptable. If you're as good as we think you are, first team All NBA, it's just unacceptable. You can't let it happen. And based on what I teased, this is what I think. Okay, in terms of the Celtics and why they lost three straight, I think, and we heard Marcus Smart talk about it, I think it was after game five, they knew that Jason Tatum was struggling. They knew he wasn't in a good place. And when that happens, your best player gets to that spot, the rest of the guys, the role guys, they are not able to operate with as much confidence knowing the guy who's supposed to be the leader, the alpha, isn't being that. Then they feel like they have to do more. They start to press. They don't feel like they can play with flow and rhythm.
But, Mark, if every man is supposed to pick up every man, you cannot have guys coming off of the bench and doing nothing. For God's sakes, I think the last two games, they both played 40 outside of the game seven, game six. But, you know, Tatum was playing 44 minutes a game. Brown was playing 44 minutes out of 48 minutes. So that's crazy. While over, you look over to your shoulder, you see Steph Curry getting a nice 5-minute rest and probably 15 to 20 minutes over total time in real time. And you're in there busting out because nobody else could get anything done. If you're young, that has to be a bit frustrating. Here's Rich Eisen on all the Tatum talk that's going on.
Jason Tatum is 24 years old. As you pointed out, Christopher, first team All-NBA for a reason. He is dynamite. Anybody who roots for an NBA team, it would be a dream come true if you have this kid playing for you. His head is screwed on straight. He is not going to be doing anything stupid. He is terrific. He is young. And also, he played his ass off. He played 983 minutes in the playoffs. The only other player to have more than 950 minutes in a single playoff season this decade is LeBron James. No wonder he was dragging in the last couple of games in this series. And he is just going through the growing pains. And by the way, give me these growing pains. Take you two games away from winning it all. So all I'll say is rip on Tatum at your own peril. He's getting killed all over the place today, and he doesn't deserve it. This team was incredible this year. It came out of nowhere, and none of it happens without Jason Tatum.
You know, I'm with him. Careful what you ask for, what you say, because you may not like the results. Now, I get what you're saying, Mark. They're like, if he decides that he wants to get out of here because of what people have said, well, who ultimately loses? The people who got you, do you want to see Jason Tatum go? No. But if he goes, you will know the reason why. You'll know the reason why. Here's the other part of that. And then who wants to come in his stead? Because, again, I thought last year, after the Danny Ainge debacle, the whole situation with Marcus Smart and how the team didn't necessarily jump on Kyrie, it was like, you know, hey, look, they did all that work to change some of the culture. But if there's a culture that you can't handle, then sometimes you just get out of the kitchen. And that's the fan base.
So let me just be on the record here and just tell you how much I despise this narrative in this conversation. Like, I don't even think we should be having it. I don't respect it. I don't want to do it. But
because you're a fan, and I get that. And I don't want to see him leave either. But you've got to say, how does a 24-year-old absorb what goes on around him where we're not 24 anymore, right? But at the same time, you may think, like, hey, I could go to, say, the Lakers, and I can perform very well. Let's say LeBron retires after next year, and he might say, I want to go to L.A. I want to go there.
Look, we're not – everybody acknowledges – what type of greatness or potential greatness Jason Tatum has within him. We saw it during the Milwaukee series. Like, he was what you want a guy of that level to be. But it's also stunning when a first-team All-NBA guy plays the way he did in spots this year, especially in the finals. 13 points. When the Celtics went 7-32, what was it, in game four? 7 minutes and 32 seconds without scoring. Yeah. Or 6 points in 7 minutes and 32 seconds. That's a stunning development when you have a guy as good as Jason Tatum. So when I see a stunning development unfold like that, it's like, wow, I got to talk about that because I feel so strongly about what I saw because it's so stunning. Do you understand?
No,
I don't
totally
know what you want
it.
Me to do. Just sit here and say, hey, like Rich Eisen, that's fine. Like, that's a nice little counterpoint. And he's right. He's not wrong. But we also have to react to how bad he was because he was bad. It's the reality.
So let me go to this portion of it then. How connected, on a scale of 1 to 10, do you think Jason Tatum is really to the fan base and to the city? On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 not at all and 10 totally embracing and loving and, you know, pretty much will stand in the North End like he's Paul Revere. 1 to 10, how connected do you think he is to the fan base?
I hate the question. I don't think that.
You hate the question because you know the answer is a low number.
What does that even mean, connected to the fan base?
Connected to. Like, okay, for example, Isaiah Thomas was a 10. got 10.
Okay.
Al Horford, probably up there, 8, 9, right? But do you feel that Tatum, and I put Brown in the same conversation, do you think they really feel super connected to Boston and New England to say, you know what, I'm going to go through.
But I'm
saying they play here. This is what pays them. Like, Death Row is the label that pays me.
I think they got a lot of support from the fans over the course of this playoff run. Like, what do you want me to say?
No, I just want you to give me a number from 1 to 10.
7.
6, 7. Is the 7 hopeful or is the 6 more real? Because I would say probably around probably 6. Hopeful.
But I don't think that's a relevant conversation. Like,
no,
I don't
but
think
it plays into
deal.
The narrative. Like, Paul Pierce is a 10. Paul Pierce is a 10. Right?
He wasn't a 10 the whole time. In 2006, he wasn't a 10. They talked about trading him, and he didn't know what he was doing.
Well, they talked about trading him, but that's one thing, right? It's another thing where you're thinking about, do I want to go through this? Do I want to still be here? See, those are two different things. Management's not saying anything about Tatum. It's a matter of, is there some type of thinking going on with Tatum right now? Says, you know what, if I go through this another year, or let's say the Celtics don't get back to the NBA Finals, or they get eliminated in the first or second round next year, and who's the narrative's back? Who is it going to be on?
Okay, so hold on. You want to have this conversation, which I don't want to have. Fine, we'll have the conversation. So you're saying
we gotta have tough conversations.
You're
sometimes.
Telling me no, that's fine. But you're telling me that you think Jason Tatum, if this is what I'm hearing, he's upset based on the narrative that the fans and the media and everybody surrounding the Boston scene is the conversation they're having after the finals. So what the counter to that would be, all right, fine. He doesn't like it, and he eventually leaves, which would mean before 2026 he has to force a trade because I think he's under contract through 26.
But remember, James Harden set a precedent that stuff doesn't matter when you're a superstar.
Okay, so fine. So he doesn't like the narrative surrounding him in Boston. He wants to leave. He forces a trade. He forces a trade out of a team or from a team that's really good, that's been to the finals, and he's been close to getting it done but hasn't quite gotten over the hump. So he forces a trade to go where? To the Lakers, to L.A., whatever. What's that narrative going to then be nationally about Jason Tatum? That he quit? That he took the easy way out? That he just wanted to go play with his friends or join a super team? If he couldn't handle Boston, who was supporting him, what's he going to do when the whole nation is talking about him and giving him the Kevin Durant, that's the weakest move by a superstar I've ever seen treatment? Is he going to like that? Is he going to handle that?
But you just did LeBron James, right? Isn't that the story of LeBron James, that the Heat was in the kitchen and he couldn't win it and get over the hump? He was a young guy, and he went to Miami.
But did he leave Cleveland because the media was mean to him?
Well, I don't know, because they love him because he was a prodigal son, so he had an attachment there.
He left because he didn't think they could win.
But again, LeBron is 20 years ago. Look at the society we're in now with social media and the 24/7 narrative that's beyond just radio and podcasts and
first of all,
television.
LeBron, when he made the decision, social media was around, so that wasn't 20 years ago.
It wasn't the way it is now.
Well, again, if he does do something like that,
nobody
the noise
was talking
is
about
only
going to
get
a,
louder. It's going to get
MySpace.
Louder.
It wasn't like MySpace was going crazy over that. Like, no. It was just really the TV pundits and the radio pundits. And now you have this whole scenario, including social media, where things are being said daily. Like Rich Eisen just said, look, be careful how you go at this at your own peril, because I believe, KJ believes, that these young players are much more affected by what is said by the masses than previous players, I would say, even going back to probably 10 years ago. I just think they're a little more affected. And if they're not physically attached to the city, like, you know, what's the point of really sticking around?
I just don't think, like, Jason Tatum is going to... He doesn't feel like a guy that would sort of reignite that trend. Like, I think the NBA is sort of going away from what we saw a decade ago with LeBron and Kevin Durant. I think it's Giannis sticking around in Milwaukee. I think it's Dame Lillard staying in Portland.
I don't think he even stays in Portland.
If Dame Lillard doesn't stay in Portland, that's, I think, more so along the lines of a Kevin Garnett leaving Minnesota. Like, he did everything humanly possible to win there. It just didn't work out, so he reluctantly decided to move on, like KG did in Minnesota. He did everything he could. It wasn't, I'm a baby, I can't listen to what everybody's saying, I want to leave. It was, we did everything we could. My career's going to get to a point where I don't have as many cracks at it anymore. I need to take my talent somewhere else to see if I get it. And then the other guy, like Ja Morant, I expect him to re-sign in Memphis. Like, if those things happen, it's going to kind of I think it would turn off a guy like Tatum to then, I'm going to the Lakers, I'm going to the Clip. You know, I think he's going to just stick around, especially with the team he has around him. And especially if they get rid of Marcus Smart, if that happened. I shouldn't say especially, but if that happened, I think that'd be...
Let me use the two examples you just used. Does it seem like Damian Lillard has a strong tie to Portland and the greater Portland area?
Yes.
Yes. Does it seem like Ja Morant has an incredible relationship with the city of Memphis?
Yes.
Does it seem like Jason Tatum has an incredible relationship with the city of Boston and New England?
Like, I can't say no. Like, I don't know if it's incredible. I don't feel like it's in a bad place. He, you know, why? Because he tweets about St. Louis? He's from St. Louis.
No, there's no team in St. Louis. So, I mean, it's not like, you know, hey, I want to go to St. Louis.
Yeah, I think you're more down on his relationship with the fans here or whatever than I am.
I think you have to take that into account when you have a 24-year-old, some debating superstar, some just saying star, who's now first team All-NBA, who the NBA recognizes as a marketable figure. He's a father out in public, right? He's got a great story. All this stuff matters, right? And if you're people around Tatum, I'm not saying I would say this, but this may potentially be a conversation. You can bank that capital in better places than in Boston. And with people, what they're saying about you and the visceral you're getting about you playing, like Isaac mentioned, he played, 900-plus minutes through the playoffs. You're dead tired. And this is what you're getting at the very end. People were kind of you were one of that was railing on him. Like, when the guy has 12 points and 13 assists, they win the game. And people were like, he didn't score enough points. That stuff, in a young man's perspective, who's achieved a lot. Think about it. He's achieved a lot by 24. Maybe just say, you know what? Why am I sticking around for this? Why? Why would I stick around for it? Why?
Because the team's really good and you've built something here and you want to see it through. That's why.
And maybe his test to see how really good the team was all those dish outs you saw, right? Like, hey, I'm dishing out to these people who are supposed to help me win a championship and they're not getting it done.
If he aborts the mission with the Celtics and just up and leaves, I'm out, in the middle of a prime, like where he's in his prime and Brown's in his prime and the core's in place, he will get more criticism nationally from the media and from just the masses than he's ever experienced in his life. So if you
maybe from New England more so than nationally.
What are you talking about? Stephen A. Smith and those, they crushed Kevin Durant when he did what he did. Because I'm assuming Jason Tatum, if he goes somewhere, he's not going to a team with nobody on it. He's going to go to a team that has talent, and he's going to be viewed as soft and taking the easy way out and a boy, like all those things. It's going to happen, and he'd have to be prepared to deal with that. So I don't know why you'd think he'd be ready to deal with that and not ready to deal with a little bit of criticism from a fan base that supported him all year.
KJ and Don Darrow, WEEI, good Sunday morning to you. Happy Father's Day. Mark is live from the U.S. Open. We'll get into some U.S. Open talk next. 617-779-7937. The text line's 37937. Thank you so much for starting your morning with us.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
KJ and Don Darrow on WEEI.
Boston's Sports Original.
KJ and Don Darrow, happy Father's Day. It's WEEI, live from the U.S. Open. Mark, this is the perfect narrative, I think, that the PGA would have hoped for going into what the narrative was last week.
Yeah, the only thing that would have made this even more perfect for me is if one of the LIV golfers was atop the leaderboard, and I could have watched a PGA Tour guy and a LIV guy go head-to-head down the stretch here of the U.S.
And
Open for
Vince
the ultimate
McMahon
supremacy.
Jump out there, right? Have Vince McMahon like, let's get it on. Like,
I don't think there's somebody there. Dustin Johnson, I want to say, is like plus one, so he's sort of – or actually, I don't even
he's
know.
He's around. What people really wanted to see was Phil Mickelson get into the weekend, and I think by him not even making the cut.
Oh, he was a joke. Listen, if you watched him talk at his press conference, he knew he was going to be annihilated, whether it was just he was rusty or by the course. You could tell he had absolutely no confidence coming
Dude was using a driver on a 2-foot putt, right?
Oh, man. It was ugly, and he knew it.
Mickelson is using a right-handed driver for a 2-foot putt?
Dustin Johnson is plus two. He is barring some, like,
miraculous run.
Yeah, he'd have to play out of his mind, like one of the best
rounds
of his life.
And everybody else would have to fall apart.
So he's probably out of it. So it's a good leaderboard. Unfortunately, the only guy that really was disappointed, Colin Morikawa, a 77 yesterday. Now, I understand he was having issues. He had lost the ability to hit a fade, which is crazy considering he's so good. And I was impressed that he was, after two rounds, right there for the lead at the U.S. Open. But yesterday was a disaster. He had trouble with the win, so he kind of fell out of contention. Had his name been up there instead of one of these other guys, that would have made it even more juicy. But it's juicy enough. It's going to be awesome. And I can't. Matt Fitzpatrick, he's tied for the lead. He won the USAM here back in 2013. Only two people have done that, one the USAM and the Open at their course, one man, one woman. So we'll see if he can get it done. I can't wait for this round, this day.
And Fitzpatrick is the odds-on favorite, according to Vegas, at plus 333 to win it all. Zalatoris at 350, John Rahm at plus 400, Rory McIlroy at plus 1,000. So tell me, how fun has it been to watch John Rahm play a game that looks like a lot of ours, you know, we try and go out there, but yet still be in the hunt to win a championship the way he's gone?
And you know what else I like about John Rahm? You said about play a game that looks like ours. He also gets pissed. And I get pissed. You know, everybody gets pissed when they play golf. And he doesn't hide his emotions. Or he's just an emotional player. And he owns it. And it's refreshing. And I really love his game. His swing isn't the prettiest swing on tour. So I can relate to that. So he's a really explosive player. He won last year at the U.S. Open. So if he could go back-to-back, you know, that's not something that Brooks Koepka did it a few years ago, but that's obviously an impressive feat. So a lot of star power atop the leaderboard and a lot of major champions, especially Scottie Scheffler trying to win. Obviously, he won the Masters. If he could win the U.S. Open, like I said before, this is the home court. Obviously, I don't belong here, but it's like a home course for me, my hometown. I want a big name to win it. Nothing against the guy that's not as well known, but you would like a big name. And I'll throw even Fitzpatrick or Zalatoris. Like, those guys are ballers. If they can find a way to win it, that's a good win. That's a good win for the country club, for the city, and for the tournament.
Well, don't you think that there's a desire, especially after the way the week started, that you would the tournament would want to see Rory make a run to be at the top of that leaderboard, say, with three holes left? You know, it comes down to Rory and maybe Fitzpatrick.
Why? Because he's the face of the PGA Tour?
Yes, and because he's the one that came out verbally to speak on their behalf. So part of the narrative that the PGA needs, even though the U.S. Open is not their event, this is their golfer, right? And I think if they're – where the narrative over the last 15 years is, who's going to be the next Tiger? And Rory seems to be the one that's been constantly being able to get his head above water. Now you have him in a situation, Rory, I'm talking about, where he can be a social justice warrior for the PGA, if that makes sense, right? Like, here's a guy who's speaking out for them. Here's a guy who has benefited and made tremendous money through them. Endorsement deals where some of the conversation for some of the mid-level players is like, well, you know, it's really great that the multi-million dollar guy is speaking out on behalf of the league, of the PGA. What about us who pretty much are, you know, going hand to mouth just to try and get to some of these tournaments to qualify and so forth? Do you think the PGA really wants a big name like Rory to be there at the top for its narrative?
To be there at the top? Yeah. I mean, ideally, the PGA would that's their signature guy. And when you can put your signature talent on display, especially a guy that's outspoken like Rory is, I think that's good for the PGA Tour.
Does that not feed into what some of the detractors are saying? Is like, okay, why should there be a your guy? Why are we not your guys, right? Like, why are now all of us are not created equal, but why are some put on pedestals faster than others. You know, that's just, I mean, it's a fair argument, but everybody can't be the same, though.
I have no idea what you just said. What did you just mean? What do you mean?
Meaning, like, some players who are having the issue why there is a LIV tournament, right?
Yep.
One, the money, but two, it's almost kind of like, you know, PGA, you have your guys, and your guys are going to get paid. But what about the other guys? Because that's what's great about golf. In any given week, a guy can come from out of nowhere, but can also disappear back into nowhere, right? So
Yeah. Where
is the support system for the guys that sometimes pop up and say, how do we get some of that love versus it constantly being the same narrative?
I don't know. Win. Start winning tournaments. You'll get love. If you win four majors, you're going to get love. Rory's won. Now, he hasn't won in a while. I think that's part of the storyline.
Yeah.
You know, 2014, that's a long time ago, and that was the last time he won a major. So we want to see him win. But if these guys start winning, it's funny with the LIV thing. It almost feels like the LIV golf thing is just a bunch of exhibitions and that the PGA Tour is an actual league. You know, LIV golf just feels like, hey, you got some good names. You got some big names. They're playing for a lot of money.
Right.
But they feel like exhibitions, like it's not real tournament golf. And they're playing like things that get them a lot of money, and the question will be, are they still going to be able to factor into the world golf rankings and play in the majors? If they don't play in the majors, you can make all that money. It's a great life to play golf and make all that money. But, I mean, if you're a competitor, don't you want to, like, I don't know, win tournaments, beat people, and play at the highest level in the biggest tournaments and events? Like, it's going to be an interesting years go on.
Right? Or make money,
yeah. But it's not like you can't. You can still make money.
Right.
And play, especially, like, some of these guys that have it licked. They've won majors and you can kind of adjust your schedule. Look, these guys went to that thing because, yeah, the schedule was a little bit a part of it, but they saw the bag. They wanted the huge sum of money without, you know, the signing bonus, whatever you want to call it, and that's why they went. And that's it.
It's KJ and Don Darrow. The second hour continues. Mark live from the U.S. Open. We'll talk more golf, get some Patriots in as well, plus the best father-son tandem in sports. That's next hour. Hang out on WEEI. It's KJ and Don Darrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.